Test. Before we get started into the word of the Lord today, and I'd like you to just really partake of the things of the Lord, the truth of God, which will set you free, I got to tell you of a powerful miracle. You know, lately my husband and I have been really giving to the work of the ministry. One miracle after the next have been happening to us. And I'd never had this kind of miracle happen. But yesterday, as I went into my funds, because I always keep certain funds, you know, that I have saved up for certain occasions. And 2 weeks ago, that fund was all dry. And I had gone over to check it out several times and over the course of the past 2 weeks, and there was nothing in there. Absolutely nothing. I had nothing saved up for anything. And that's very, very uncomfortable for me because I always like to be able to give and do what God's asked me to do. For 2 weeks, I kept looking into that envelope and, you know, there's nothing there. Well, yesterday, I had purposed in my heart to go and buy something for one of the children in the daycare. And I knew that God wanted me to do it because he's a fatherless little boy and he really needs something. He's been asking me if he could have a superhero. So I wanted to go to the Christian bookstore and get little David for him, a superhero, and buy it, an action figure. And so I said, well, Lord, I said, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm trusting you. And I went over to my pot of funds. I opened it up, and there was a $50 bill in there. That was a miracle. That was a miracle. It's kind of like the miracle of the coin in the fish's mouth that God had done. It's a supernatural thing that God is doing for those that want to give. And I really asked today, perhaps, Pastor Tom, if somehow or another that bulletin board that I write on could be located, because I would like to do some things and really show some things illustrated today and do some writing. And I just thought about that today. I'm sorry I didn't share that with you sooner, but it just occurred to me how important it is in many ways to do that today. And so I just want to open in prayer that the Holy Spirit would reveal his truth to us and that the truth will set us free, okay? Heavenly Father, we believe today that the truth of God will come into our hearts like a sharp two-edged sword. And that truth, God, will set us free. God, we believe that everything that you have destined for us to become and to be, we will be it, Lord. That the word of God would come into our heart like fire, Lord, and consume every enemy in our heart and every enemy in our life. God, I thank you that you show us the way today and reveal to us the perfect plan for every individual person in this place. In Jesus' name, I believe it, and I say amen to it. Amen. Now, would you do this? Hold your Bibles up. Take your Bibles, hold the Bibles up that you've brought, and we're going to believe that this truth is going to reveal something to our heart today that really shows where we need to change, because that's always what the truth does. It shows us where we need to change, so we have to be prepared for it. So with your Bibles, okay, we're going to say, God, may your word show us the truth today, and we will be conformed to this word, and we will grow in the area that you're revealing to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It will become truth to you. I'd like to start with a parable today, a parable that Jesus shared with us, and it's in Mark chapter 4. This is called the parable of all parables. It is the parable of all parables. And Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you will not be able to understand any parable. And so in Mark chapter 4, he began to teach, in verse 1 it says, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it. Then he taught the many by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. The other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable, and he said, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not hear." And then he said, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all of the parables? The sower sows the word. And when these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Then these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, but they have no root, and so they just endure only for a little time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, they stumble. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the other ones sown on the good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, what I'd like to illustrate for you today is a simple truth, okay? This is the truth. There are four different kinds of people in the world. I'd like to outline this for you, okay? Out here, we have a circle. And this circle stands for those that are interested in Christ, okay? Or those that are inquisitive about Christ. Obviously, there are some that are not interested, but I'm talking about those right now that are interested, and so you could kind of lump them together. Those that are not interested or those that are interested, they're in one group that are together, okay? And then we have a cross here, okay? So some that are not interested, some that are interested, they're in this group right here. Then we have the cross that comes. And the cross will bridge the gap into these other three that the parable is talking about. Here's the other group right here. Here's the next group. And here's the next group. Okay, now the way that you get from this group to this group is that you receive God's grace. And I'm going to put this down here. You understand grace. You understand that you have a need. You come clean. You get honest with God. You say, "I know that I need a Savior, that I can't make it on my own." You face the truth, and God then gives you His grace. Everybody sitting here, somehow or another, has got to understand this, that it is through the cross that we are saved. Everybody has to come to grips with that we need God. We need Him. We can't live without Him. It is only through Christ that we can have a divine life that's anything worth living for. All right? So whether you're an NC or an IC, not interested in Christ or interested in Christ, you're in one group right here. And it's only through the power of the cross of Jesus, through His grace, that you can enter here. Now, here we have three different kinds of Christians. Number one, Christian, we have the BC, okay? These are the beginners in Christ. The beginners in Christ. And the Bible talks about those that are the beginners. They are those, and in Mark chapter 4, it very clearly talks about these, and I'm going to explain it to you. It says, well, first of all, let me show you the IC or the NC. The Bible says, these are the ones by the wayside. These are by the wayside Christians. Where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes to take away the word that was sown in their heart. So they're not Christians. They're just kind of interested in Christ, or maybe they're not interested at all. But the word of God is sown upon their heart, and it falls. They fall away. These are those kind of people that you talk to about Jesus, you know, and say, "Oh, Jesus can set you free. Jesus can be your friend. Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. But when they hear, Satan comes immediately. He takes away the word that was sown in their heart. Nothing happens. Nothing. Nothing happens. Now, likewise, there are the ones that are sown on stony ground that when they hear the word, immediately it says, the Bible says that they receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves. So they just endure for a little while. But then when persecution or all kinds of things happen, then they can stumble very easily, okay? Not that they fall away from God. They're just stumblers all the time. They stumble through everything in life. They're stumblers, okay? Because they don't have any root. They may come to church for a little while and they love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. But then they walk out and do their own thing and try to, you know, form some kind of a relationship with Christ. But they're always stumbling over the Word of God because the Word of God actually does cause you to be a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. Yes, it does. It causes you to be uncomfortable because your flesh doesn't always like the truth. It doesn't always want to change. It just doesn't. And so this is one type of Christian, and it's a carnal Christian. These are carnal Christians. All right? I hope to God that there's no carnal Christians in here. But you can come to grips with it today if you are, and you could say, yes, I am, and that's the best thing you could ever do. You say, yes, I am. I'm a carnal Christian. I just kind of come and go. If I like God, if I like what his word is saying, if I've got a little tickling ears, I'll listen to it. But if I don't like it, I walk away. I don't want to hear that. That's too hard. I don't want to change. I don't want no spankings. Don't give me no spankings, God. I don't want it. I don't want to change. And so you're constantly stumbling and stumbling and stumbling through life. That's the carnal Christian. You want to know another carnal Christian? Here's another one. The Bible says this, and I think this is so important. It says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So we have over here what I call, hallelujah, those that are kind of just courting Christ. They're courting with Christ. Okay? Or another word might be dating, you know, courting. They just come to church. Hi. This is the way we go to church sometimes. This is the way we go to church, go to church, go to church. This is the way we go to church so early in the morning. This is the way we go to church. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. If I feel like it, I'll go. If I don't, I won't. Okay? Truly, truly. These are the ones that are courting Christ. They're dating Christ. It's like, oh, he looks so good when you're going out with him. The church service feels so good. But then, the Bible says, but then the cares of the world, cares. You know, you might think that worry is something to embrace. I hear Christians say that all the time. I'm worried about this. Worry is a killer. And the reason why I'm telling you these things today is because the devil's out there. You know, we may take vacations in the summer, but the devil doesn't. We may take breaks in the summer, but the devil doesn't take a break. He never takes a vacation, and he's always out to steal the word. Always out to steal the word. He always is. And so we've got to put on that armor, the Bible says. And this is carnal Christianity. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, okay? It's like something else is kind of creep in, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word. And that Bible says it's, you become unfruitful. And so when you're courting Christ, okay, you're courting him. You're just entertaining him if you like it, okay? this becomes a very, very carnal way of living. And I'm gonna explain this a little bit later. How you know if you're a carnal Christian or not. And some of these things are gonna be kind of revealing, and they might even cut kind of deep. But you know what? Unless you know the truth, you'll never be set free. You know, I wouldn't be a good parent if I wouldn't tell you something that you need to eat your broccoli. There are times when you need to eat your broccoli. You cannot stay an infant or an immature person, a Christian, forever, because that's not your destiny. Your destiny is to become a mature Christian, a mature or married to Christ, mature Christian, married to Christ. You're married here. You're entering into covenant with him. You're literally married to him. And this is not a place of carnality. This is a place where you're kind of radical, like in the book of Acts. You know what I'm saying? That was normal. In those days, being on fire for Jesus was normal. Being radical, praying in the spirit, just joining in and fighting against the works of hell, you know, even laying down your life. I mean, people were killed for the sake of Christ, and they still are today. All over the world, there are Christians that are mature Christians that are actually saying, I love Jesus so much that I'm going to lay my life down for him. I'm telling you, we live in a very carnal attitude. Do you know that the Bible says that the devil believes in God too? It's not enough to believe in God. It's not enough to go to church if it works with your schedule. Because the devil doesn't take a vacation. He's always out to eat your lunch. He's always out to get you. And you know, the powerful thing is that if we know the truth, God will set us free. I'm so encouraged by this when I see young people, young friends that are really on fire for Jesus. I'm so encouraged by it when they stand up to their friends and they say, no, I'm not doing those drugs. No, I'm not going to that place. I don't want to. No, I'm going to reveal some things that I don't like, and I don't want to attend this because I know it's not going to be good for my soul. I don't want to watch that program because I know it's not going to be good for my soul. The social media, oh, it is not all consuming. Oh, my girlfriend and I, we're just dabbling in a little bit, you know, a little bit of sin, a little bit here, a little bit. Oh, but we love Jesus. And we go to church sometimes. We love Jesus, but we just kind of are sleeping together sometimes. No. It's not good enough any longer. That's not going to get you to where you're married to Christ. Because you know what the Bible says? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. I want to share this word with you. Jesus says this very plainly, and he says it very clearly. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal people, as to babes in Christ. There it is, beginners. He could only speak to them as beginners, not even as those that were courting Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I could only speak to you as a babe, for you are still carnal, for where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Now, this is how you know that you're a carnal Christian. And I'll tell you what, I searched my soul before I preached this message because I asked the Lord to change me in areas where I was seeing that I needed changes into. So I'm not only preaching to you today, I'm preaching to me. Because if we come to the grips with the fact that every one of us needs change, we're going to see something of the truth. And it's not always, well, I used to be like this, or I hear some ministers say that. Well, I used to be like this, and I used to be like this. No, honey, we're all sinners. And we all fall short of the glory of God. And we all need to change every day. Every single day, we need to face the truth about ourselves and say, yeah, I was lying there yesterday. Shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? Yeah, I was entertaining that. That looked a lot more fun for me than reading the Bible. Something's going on. I'm going through a slow fade, and I better get out of it. You know you're a carnal Christian when other things beside God take precedence. And write this down. You know that you're a carnal Christian when other things beside God takes precedence over something that you know is right and holy for you. When something takes precedence, it can be anything. You have to realize this. Carnal Christianity is just listening to stupid music and stupid entertainment because it appeals to the flesh and saying, I'm not going to be bothered by that one or two blasphemous words. I'm just going to sit there and watch it. I'm going to listen to this. And they're talking about all kinds of demonic things. They're talking about worshiping Satan. You know, their Harry Potter stuff. Junk that entertains and has witchcraft in it. I'm just going to watch that and just kind of be educated by it because, after all, I need to know what's going on. And after all, it's a little bit interesting. I'm telling you the truth. If you start to watch a movie, the minute you watch something that's blasphemous, you should turn it right off. You should stand up and walk out of that movie theater and say, I'm not going to sit here and watch that filth. I'm not going to entertain myself on that. I'm not going to watch that TV program and all that gossip and all that stupid stuff on there. I'm not going to do it. You know what? If I would ask you this, please understand me. I love you. This is not because I'm mad or I'm upset or because I'm legalistic. I'm telling you that the devil is out there watching how he can steal, kill, or destroy from you. And anytime you let anything other than Jesus Christ, anything other than Jesus Christ be more than enough for you, it's going to be your demise. It's not God and something. God and something. It's God. It's God. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. And then, you know, the minute you're watching that program that's scintillating to the flesh, that it's so interesting, and you hear blankety blank, blankety blank, God blankety blank this, God blankety blank that. Do you know what that's doing to your spirit? That's polluting your spirit. How many of you, if I would curse your mother to your face and say, Eleanor blankety blank, Eleanor blankety blank, how many of you would get a little bit upset? How many of you would get a little bit upset if I talked about your mother that way? Well, why aren't we getting upset about Jesus Christ being that way? Why are you watching the videos and the movies that you do? Because you're not seeing what God says. You're not in love with Christ. And when you're married to him, you'll defend him. You'll stand up and say, I'm not watching that filth. I'm walking out. It's the truth. How many of you hear, oh, Buddha this, and oh, Muhammad this, and oh, God? We hear, oh, God this all the time. But why is the name of the Lord just hassled and taken in vain? It's because it's the most precious name upon the face of this earth. And Jesus Christ's name should never be taken in vain. It's holy. It's holy. It's his love. It's his name that protects us. That's what the Bible says. You're protected by the name of God. So you know that you're a carnal Christian when you just let these things of the world entertain you and you're not touched by it, you're not moved by it, you're not appalled by it any longer, you don't get upset with it. You have friends that do it and you don't care. You just hang around with them. You should turn your back on those friends just like a heartbeat. You know what? You say, yeah, but I can't do that to them. They would upset me. That they would get mad. They would think I'm holier than thou. Well, then do you want to live like that? You want to turn out like that? Because you will turn out like that if you don't turn your back on it. It's the blood that empowers you to just turn your back on this. You know, the reason why you're powerless in prayer today is because you don't know that this filth has been coming into your spirit and you've got to turn your back on it. You know, I always want to stay, when I start to get the edge, you know, like this week, I was kind of getting a little bit of the edge, and I wasn't wanting to pray as much as I wanted to, and I said, Lord, what's wrong? He says, just power up. He said, get in my presence more. When you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. When you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Because I was sensing my prayers didn't have the same kind of power that they used to have. And the Lord said this. He said, you just need to spend more time with me. Soak in my presence. Saturate yourself in my presence. Get more of me. Hunger and get more and more and more. And it did it. It did it right away. When I did that, when I started to just saturate myself with his presence, then I started doing this again. I rebuke you, Satan. You must flee. You must flee. You see, the devil knows how to tire you out. He knows how to wear you out. He knows how to drain you of your energy. And usually it gets you so busy, and this was my case, so busy doing the things of God that I didn't have time to pray. This is why he deceives. Oh, he's a master deceiver, and he hates me talking like this right now. But I'm going to talk to you because I want to set you free today. I'm going to tell you this, that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. It's just that you can't get too busy. You can't get too busy on your job. You can't get too busy to come to church. I'm telling you this, it's a lie, it's a deception, that your job is more important than the kingdom of God on Sunday morning. That is a lie. That is a lie from the pit of hell. I'm telling you the truth. If you start to say, pretty soon I'm away one Sunday, then the next Sunday it's going to get easier, and the next Sunday it's going to get a little easier, and pretty soon you're going to be walking away from God altogether. It's a slow fade, believe you me. It's a slow fade. But you start to take it one day and say, I'm going to get away from the house of God, then maybe make a deception for two. Or three, or four. Oh, I don't have to pray today. I can't pray today. I'll pray tomorrow. I'm too busy today. Watch it. The devil doesn't take a vacation. The devil doesn't take a vacation. I'm warning you. He'll get you when you're weak, when you're all worn out and and tired and sick. How can you stand against him when you're worn out and tired and sick? You've got to take it every day to day, one day, even if it's just for a few minutes. Put that armor on. Say, God, in Jesus' name, I'm going to stand against the power of the enemy today, and I resist the powers of darkness. You see, the flesh is always warring against the spirit. Let me show you that in the Word of God. It's always warring. There's a constant war. And sometimes I've heard Christians say, and this is so funny, when is this going to stop? When is there going to be peace? When Jesus comes back. You know why? Because you got to get used to this kind of battle. This is a constant battle. This is a constant source. Even when Tom and I take a break and we go on a little what we call a reprieve or vacation, you believe you me, I never stop praying for you and I never stop praying for me. I never stop getting in the Word. I never stop praying. Because the minute you do that, you're gonna have a little surprise set up for you, and it's called a temptation. A temptation will come your way, and you won't have the strength to resist it. And so every day, the discipline for a moment seems grievous, but afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Galatians chapter 5, I love this. It says, For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Do not use this liberty, though, as an opportunity for the flesh. Okay? So in other words, you're free to do whatever you want. God says, you can watch that filthy show if you want to. You cannot pray. You cannot come to church if you want to. But you know what? Guess what? Don't use this liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. That's what the Lord says. It says, because beware, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, I'm going to name to you some of the works of the flesh. And some of your feel-good Christians may not like this, but God told me today to be strong and bold and of great courage, and do not listen to the fear of man. So I'm going to tell you the truth today, because I will be accountable someday to stand before the Lord and say, did you tell them? Did you tell them? These are the works of the flesh. Get this. These are the works. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you, that now those who practice such things do not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the reason I'm going to tell you this today is because I want you to realize this is how you know you're a carnal Christian. If you walk in the flesh and the things of the world do not bother you when you do them, you're a carnal Christian. It's true. It's true. When you're hanging around with someone and they're saying, "Oh, Jesus Christ," and you don't go, "Oh, that's my Lord and Savior." Don't say that. "That's my Lord and Savior." If it doesn't bother you anymore, you're carnal. You may have Jesus as your Savior. You may have asked for forgiveness of sins, but you're still carnal. And God wants you to know that it's only through the Word of God that you can grow from here to here to here. It's through the Word. It's through embracing the Word of God. It's through saying, "I'm going to make the Word of God and reading the Bible my best friend every day. I'm going to get alone with Christ. I'm going to saturate myself. I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to seek Him with all my heart. I'm going to be faithful to do that." And that is my desire. Do you know what the Bible actually says in Mark chapter 9? I'd like you to see this scripture. This is a pretty bold scripture. And I'm going to share with you something, because you may be saying, "Well, this sounds pretty legalistic." Oh no, Jesus said it. Is Jesus legalistic? Is Christ legalistic? Come on, talk to me. Is Christ legalistic? No, He's not. He's totally filled with love. He's totally filled with grace. Now let me show you what Jesus said about this situation. If something offends you, can we put it up, please, quickly? "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." That's Jesus, our loving Jesus, that we think is always smiley and happy. We got another thing coming us. "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into the kingdom of God, lame, rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that will never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." God's talking about hell here. Christ is talking about hell, and He loves you so much, He's warning you. "If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out." Now, literally, He's saying it's better for you to take and to poke out your eyes than it is for you to look at stuff that's sinful. That's what the Bible says. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye. This is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus. Don't question me right now, because I'm speaking to you the truth as a prophet of God. This is not legalistic. This is Jesus speaking. "If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hellfire." My God, that is your truth. Now, how many of us understand the truth to this? It's not what we need to dabble with. Perverse spirits are not what we need to dabble with. Sin is not what we need to entertain. Now, what God says, the reward for obedience is this: you can ask whatever you will, and it will be done. Now, the reason why most people are not experiencing joy is because they're not known in hell. Do you know that you can be known in hell? There's a scripture where some people tried to cast out demons. They literally did. They came into, they're called sons of Sceva. They came and tried to cast the devils out, and the devils leaped on them and beat them up. And they wondered why they couldn't cast the devils out. And what, you know what the devils said? This is what the spirits of darkness said. They said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Are you known in hell? Are you known in hell? Do you know why the devil's trying to eat your lunch right now? Do you know why he's trying to take your children from you? You know why he's trying to take everything from you? A lot of the times it's because you are known in hell. But sometimes it's because you're not. So you got to know the difference. And when the word of God comes to you and says this, I decree a certain thing and I speak it out of my mouth. The Bible says whenever the devil comes, you've got to say the word of God out of your mouth. You've got to say who you are. Every one of you today are in one of these four groups. Every one of you are in one of these four groups today. Either you're not interested in Christ, or you're interested in Christ and haven't embraced grace yet. Or you're just a beginner in Christ. It's like you're kind of entertaining things, but sometimes these things, you don't want Christ's word. You don't want to hear those things that cause you to have to change. You're uncomfortable, and so you stumble, you fall away. Or you're in the church, but, you know, it's kind of like the lusts of the flesh, the deceitfulness of riches. You know, the praises of man can enter in right here, and you just do what everybody else in the church is doing. It's so easy to do that. But this church is called a prophetic ministry, and Lord willing, someday I will be able to speak this all over the world, and this word, as a prophet of God, I will speak this word, and this church will back me up. Because you're going to be sold out to God, you're going to be married to Christ, and you're going to know that it's the truth and only the truth that can set us free. And when we know the truth and we embrace it, we become uncomfortable sometimes. This week, like I said, I told you, I was going through a slow fade and I didn't even know why. And the Lord said, you're too busy with the work of the Lord and not the Lord of the work. And when you can embrace truth, I'm telling you, it's the most powerful thing that happens in your life. When you can embrace truth and when you can say, I need to change here. And when somebody comes to you and say, you need to be corrected in that, you go, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. That is the most powerful thing that you can say. Is the word of God a final authority in our life? How do we move? Now, the question is this. I asked the Lord this one day, and I said, Lord, how do we move from this thing of courting Christ to being married to Christ? Because most people are right here in the body of Christ right now. They're still courting Christ. You know how you move from here to here? It's through this big word right here. Giving and commitment. Giving and commitment, or covenant. That's another word, covenant. Giving. When you start to say, my life is not my own, my life is God's. I will do anything God asks me to do, anytime he asks me to do it. I am sold out to God. I'm totally 100% given to the things of God. I will do what he says to do. When we say, I will put my mind upon things above, not on things beneath, when you're struggling, there's no problem with struggling because every one of us struggles. That's not the problem, because sometimes struggling is a good thing, because it's kind of like, and the reason why I wore this shirt today, struggling with certain things is a good thing. When you're kind of feeling a little bit uncomfortable, but you want what's right, okay? You're just feeling a little bit uncomfortable. Ooh, but I really do want this. I really do. You know what you're actually like? You're moving from this phase to this phase. You're going from courting Christ to married Christ, and you don't even know what's happening. You're struggling, but you know it's kind of a good kind of a struggle. It's kind of a feeling of, you know, oh, I really don't like this, but I don't like where I was. I want to go farther. I want to go farther. And the reason why I wore this shirt today, it's because it's kind of like you're a worm or a caterpillar eating some dust, and that cocoon is spinning around you right now. And it's spinning around you, and you're saying, yeah, I want to come into that place of protection with God Almighty. I know I want to be married to Him. I know I want to be covered by Him. I know I want to be protected, and I want to turn into something that's free, not something that's groveling on the ground like a worm. I want to be a free butterfly. But you know what? It's funny, because so many times when we see people like that, we want to interfere with their life. We want to get in there and try to fix things right away. But you know that if you took a caterpillar and you kind of broke them open while they're in that chrysalis stage, you would cripple that butterfly, and that he would never be able, or she, whatever, would never be able to fly. You would cripple that butterfly. That's truth. They've done that. They've interfered with that process that's going on in the cocoon, and they rip it open too soon, and that butterfly may have some wings, but it cannot fly. It's not free. You're gonna have to go through the process. You're gonna have to let Christ do things not only in your life, but in other people's lives that may seem very uncomfortable. And you don't always want to look at it. But the cool thing about it is that once they're free, and once you're free, you're going to be like a butterfly just flying around free, totally free. I love embracing correction because I know that I'll grow thereby, okay? It's kind of like a tree. A tree in the midst of winter, you know, it looks dead. It looks very, very dead. But all along, the sap is growing up into those roots. It's coming from the roots, growing up into the whole part of the tree. And so once spring comes, there's going to be a couple little peaches on that tree. There are going to be a couple little peaches that are growing. And it was funny because I've been in that stage. In fact, just about 3 years ago, I was at this stage where I was growing and there was a lot of peaches coming out. And the Lord says, okay, now I'm going to cut those little peaches off. Quick, quick, quick. And I want you to bear abundant fruit, but I'm going to cut those little peaches off. And I felt very bare because the fruit that I had was being cut off. But the Lord says, I'm pruning you so that you will bear much fruit. And sometimes when you're going through a dormant stage, it's because God's sitting there, whick, whick, whick. He's pruning you. And he's getting off all that stuff, that dead fruit, so that you can have more abundant fruit. Hallelujah. The key, though, is to always be crying out to the Lord, teach me, God, teach me, God, teach me, God, teach me, Lord, instruct me in the ways of righteousness, teach me, God, I'm teachable, I'm open, I'm willing to change, I'm teachable, Lord. That is the key. That's the key to safety, that's the key to abiding in the Lord, in the Word, and I'm telling you this, when you abide in the Word, it's His will to set us free when you abide in His truth. You know, there's something the Bible calls dying to self. And it's a very, very, very difficult thing. But the Apostle Paul says, I die daily. I die to myself. And I've done this over and over again. I say, Lord, I've got to die to this. I've just got to die to this. And after a while, one day I was so tired of saying that, Lord, I'm so tired of saying this. Lord, I'm going to die to this. I'm going to die to this. I'm going to die to this. I cried out to the Lord. I said, God, what's in it for me? Huh? Tell me, what's in it for me? Huh? It's that, you know what? It was a stupid selfishness rising up in me. What's in it for me, God? And you know, he told me real softly, he said, you got me. Because like I said before, so many of us think it's God and something. God and something. And then when we get in there, it's not what we thought it was. Well, it's God and a better church. Well, it's God and a bigger ministry. Well, it's God and, you know, a Harley. Or it's God and a Corvette. Or it's God and a bigger house. Something else. Always something else to make us happy. But when we think about it, you know, the complex will of God is this, the Bible says. We can't ever get into the perfect will of God unless we get into the very simple will of God. And what the simple will of God is? Just to thank Him in all things. To thank Him for where you are, to praise Him for what you've got, to not worry about all those complex things that He's called you to, but to praise God and to give Him glory for where you're at. Okay? Now, Hebrews 12, verse 11 says this, and let's look at this scripture, because this is how we become the unshakable church, or the unshakable person, or the unshakable Christian, that the winds of hell and the storms of life do not move us. This is how we become this. We embrace the word. We say, Lord, let your truth, show me your truth, and may your truth set me free. Now listen, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So guess what? We have to have some new thinking habits. In order for us to become what we're called to be, we've got to use what's called the frontal lobe of the brain. Now you say, okay, what is she talking about right now? The frontal lobe of the brain, according to Dr. Caroline Leaf, is this. There's a frontal lobe of the brain, and it causes you to think about what you're thinking about. So you've got to analyze what your thoughts are. Like, why am I thinking this? I can assure you that whenever you have a depressed thought or a wrong thought, when it comes to mind, you know what you're thinking about? You're thinking about something negative. And so the way you counteract that is by saying what the Bible says. And this is scriptural. Jesus said this. When the devil came to him, what did he say? Out of his mouth, he said the scriptures. He said the word. When the devil tempted Jesus, or when the devil tempts you, or when your stupid flesh tries to talk you out of something that you know God is asking you to do, you need to talk to yourself, or you need to talk to the enemy. You need to say the scriptures out of your mouth. And you say, oh, I feel so stupid doing that. Well, would you rather feel stupid suffering the consequences of sin, or just feeling stupid suffering through this cocoon stage that you're going through? Because that's what it is. It's a cocoon stage. And we got to remember this. If we walk around and we say, devil, get out of my house, get out of my affairs, just get out of my life. I know the truth. The truth will set me free. I have the promises of God. I will renew my mind. Get away from me. You become what God says you will become. Now let's take a look at another scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 5. How many of you have ever dreaded the future? You've dreaded the future. You wake up, I don't want to even go into this day. Do you know that's a form of fear? And what I've learned is that God will always give us grace for every moment that we're struggling. Every moment that we struggle. God will give you grace. Without the word of God, we cannot go into the promised land. Without going through the wilderness first, the children of Israel went through the wilderness first. They went through that struggling stage where they were struggling, and then God set them free. Now, let me show you some of the things that God sets us free from. And let me tell you, you got to have a feisty spirit to make it in the kingdom of God. Seriously, you've got to have a feisty spirit. You know, there's such a thing called a Moses soul fish. You say, what is that? It's called a Moses soul. It's a kind of a fish. And that fish actually will cause sharks. They're little itty-bitty, they're little itty-bitty fishes. Just tiny little fishes. And they would be great shark food. But they're such an interesting little fish because they give off a toxic kind of a aura around them, and the sharks are repelled, and they won't bite them, they won't eat them. They're just tiny little fish, tiny. But when the sharks, they smell that kind of smell, that aroma that the soul actually emits, this little soul fish emits, it's called a Moses. I think it's so interesting. It's a Moses fish. Why do you think it's a Moses fish? Because it's a delivering fish. And it's causing us to understand that it's only through proclaiming the word like Moses did. What did Moses do to Pharaoh? He said, let my people go. When you begin to come into this area of giving and commitment, when you begin to step out of just being a receiver into a minister for the Most High God, then you begin to repel the enemy. He will back off from you. That's how you become like a Moses fish. And that's how you leap from just courting Christ to being married to Christ, is becoming a minister of Christ. Seriously, you've got to move into that avenue of becoming a minister and setting the captives free. Seriously, it is the only way that you'll have a motivation to quit any habit that you have. It's the only way that you'll have a motivation to get out of debt, is if you see a bigger picture or something that's worth fighting for. You become fireproof to the enemy when you realize that there's a cause greater than yourself that's worth fighting for. You become free from sin. You want to get up in the mornings. You want to go to church. You want to find a place to serve. You want to get out of complacency, because you know that there is a reason worth fighting. There's a reason, okay? The Canaanites, literally, the word literally means, these are the enemies that were in the promised land. A Canaanite means to press down or to humiliate. A Hittite, this word means fear or terror. How many times have God's people missed the promised land because they were afraid? The Perizzite, this word means an unwalled city. It implies a lack of discipline. Remember I said that without discipline, you will never inherit the promises of God. Discipline may appear to be very unpleasant for the moment, but without it, you cannot yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You've got to discipline your flesh. You've got to get up. You've got to do your job. You know, one of the most simple things that you do is just say today, you know what? I'm tired of these stupid, entertaining things running my life. Hallelujah. Amorites. Hallelujah. You know what an Amorite means? The word means to speak or to say something negative. A Jebusite. These were all enemies of the promised land. It means to trample, and it implies depression or oppression. The Midianite, this word means to strive or contend. The Philistine, it means to wallow in the dust. The Moabite means to be against God or rebellious against God. Now, what I'm telling you to do today is just to do something very important. There may be things that God wants you to move into. It's called your calling. It's your calling, your vision, the anointing that God has for your life. It's to set people free. It's to tell people about Jesus. It's to invite people over to your house to be the most hospitable person that you could ever do. You know what? All of you have a place to live. You know what? If somebody's in need and you turn your back to them when they're in need, how be it the love of God in you? This is all you are. You're courting Christ. You're not married to him. If somebody has a need and you know about it and you turn your back and you say, be warm, be filled, hallelujah. All you are is a courting Christian. You're courting with Christ. You're not mature yet. You don't see the needs of people around about you and cry over lost souls. You're in a movie theater watching it happen and being entertained by it. Give me a break. My God, help us. Now, I'm going to stand today, and I'm going to ask you to take a stand for what's righteous and what's holy, and say, I'm going to become what God's called me to be and not become a carnal Christian. Sometimes we just get out of the loop because we're so filled with ourselves, with what we think we need. I want, I think, I feel. 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 Who cares what we want? Who cares what we think, and who cares what we feel, when Christ has already told us that he loves us, that he believes in us, that he's given us a calling, that he is with us, that Christ knows us by name? That should be reason to get up every morning and say, who can I tell about the love of God? Whose life can I benefit? Whose life can I change? What can I do to make an eternal effect in this world? How can I change the world? Who wants to change the world? Stand up. 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 Or do you want your stupid little videos so much? And all your carnal Christianity and all your stupid ungodly music? What is God saying to us today? He's saying to cast down every vain imagination, every single lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is what he's saying to do. Cast it down! Cast it down. It's keeping you from being married to Christ. That stupid program that you're watching, when you could read the Bible, kill it! Kill it! Kill it! I'm telling you, you can never be married to Christ when you're in love with the world. You can never be married to Christ when you're in love with the world. He won't have that. He's not married to a harlot. He's not married to a whore. He's not married to a whore. He's married to a loving, beautiful bride. And he's coming for that bride without spot or without wrinkle. He's coming for us. But we got to get rid of the drunkenness. We've got to get rid of the rivalry. We've got to get rid of the fighting and the bickering and the complaining. And taking thousands of people with us on this journey when only God Almighty can stand and be our defense. We're taking our cutesy little outfits to church and thinking we're going to look so cute for Jesus. This is the way we go to church. When all along people are dying to hell, how many people have you brought to church recently? Huh? How many people have you brought to church recently? Sometimes we need a good spanking. It's good for us. Sometimes you need to have a spanking on your back because you don't really care about the people dying out there. Otherwise, you would be bringing some people from time to time to church. Do you care? Are you just courting Christ? Or are you going to be married to him? Choice is yours. But you're going to have to cast down the vain imaginations with the hammer of the word. And you're going to say, I'm done with it. It's out of here. It's time. It's time to take a stand for Jesus. No more. No more. I'm not going to tip Christ in the offering. A little buck here, a little $2 here. You're paying way more than that to get your nails done, honey. Your nails more important than God? Are your nails and is your hair more important to God? Are you willing to pay the price to give? This is the only way. This is the only way we get from here to here is to give. To give. To give our time. To give our money. To give our heart. To give our energy. To give our reputation. To give our reputation up. Follow Christ. It takes a commitment. And this hammer of the word's got to be used on our heart. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Hallelujah. Every day. I'm telling you this is the truth. It is a costly anointing. But I'm just going to tell you this, that when you choose this, when you choose to use this hammer on your life, it won't always be comfortable. It doesn't. It hurts. It hurts sometimes. But you got to do it. Seriously, every day I look in this word and I find things that I need to change. Man, Jesus said this, and Jesus said that, and Jesus said this. God, for this reason, you know what? I'm looking at this right now, and I'm not always this way. And I said, Lord, make me this way. The Lord says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. And because of the futility in their thoughts, their foolish hearts were darkened. Have you ever wondered when you get up in the morning why you feel so bad? I have. It's because I wasn't thankful for what I had. It's true. And therefore, if we're not thankful for what we have, we look at our kids and, they're just a, why aren't they, why, you know, we should be calling our family the most blessed people around, amen? The most wonderful people around, because they are, you know, but yet we're not thankful. And when we're not thankful, what happens is that our eyes become darkened and we cannot see the way God says. And so I'm just going to say this right now. I'm going to ask, how many of you want to move from this courting Christ area to being married today? Hallelujah. Being married to Christ. I want to be married. Hallelujah. I want to be married to Christ. You know what that means? That means looking out for each other. It's not, what about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? Like a little robot. What about me? It's not that way. It's that God is an all-consuming fire. And we're thinking about, what about you? 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 Hallelujah. Now, as we stand today, we're standing right now. And I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit, Laurel, could you come forward? We're going to believe today. And I don't know what it is that you need to lay down at the altar. It may be, I can read all kinds of stuff here. There's all kinds of works of the flesh. Hey, we all have something. Unrighteousness, sexual immorality, covetousness. Have you ever wanted other people's stuff? Murder, strife, that's fighting. Deceit, evil-mindedness, backbiter, hater of God, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, unforgiving. Have you forgiven everyone today that you have had anything against? There's something for every one of us today. There is something for every one of us. I'm telling you, we ought to smash it today at the altar of God and say, Lord, I'm moving today. Today, I'm moving from being courting you and dating you to being married to you, and I'm going to stand up and take my stand. And if you really believe that, I'm telling you this. I want you to take this. Take this in your hand today. And one by one, as you walk up, you pick up this hammer. I'm going to lay it down right now. You pick it up one by one if you want to. And you say, God, I'm going to use the hammer of your word against the things that are causing me to live in the flesh. I'm not going to live in the flesh any longer. I'm not going to entertain the things of the flesh any longer. I don't want them. I'm going to say no to them. I'm going to cast them down. All deceitfulness and everything. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. And if that's you, you want to join in, I pray every one of you come. Take that hammer one by one and just hold it up before the Lord in all sincerity of your heart and say, Lord, I want your word to break every chain in my life. And I'm submitting to you to become a giver. I'm going to be a giver. Commitment. That's not just talking about money. I'm not talking about money here. It may be part of it, but I'm talking about giving, giving hope to people, giving the word to people, being committed to them, to helping them, to serve them. Come forward, and we're going to believe that God is going to break all these chains. Look at this. Every chain will be broken by the blood of Jesus. There's power in the name.
Don't be afraid. Just come forward. Don't be afraid. Take a stand. One by one, take a stand and hold that hammer and say, Lord, I'm going to believe you for this hammer to be used against my flesh. Teach me, Lord. Just say, teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, how to say no to that stupid entertainment. Hallelujah. Those R-rated movies, the filthy language, I'm going to die to it. Ungodly music, I'm going to crucify that flesh. I'm going to crucify it, break every chain. I stand with you right now because I've done this too. I stand with you right now. I've lifted up that hammer And I love Jesus more than anything, but you have to cast down the imaginations when they come. And talk to yourself right now. Talk to yourself and talk to the enemy. Say, I resist you, Satan. I cast down every vain thought. I cast down pride, murmuring, complaining, bitterness, anything. I'm just gonna do it. Just take that hammer, and as we worship the Lord together, I hope and pray every single one of you will make this commitment today to break every chain off of your life. Break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.